Well, rain continues to come down in parts of Saskatchewan. It's enough for those areas where seeding is underway that farmers are stopped right now while the gentle rain falls, and no one is going to be opposed to that. We'll clear up over the next couple of days in those areas, but right now, stand still for a little bit at least. Well, we've been highlighting throughout the show today, VE Day is coming up on May 8th, the official end of World War II in Europe, 1945, after Germany's unconditional surrender to the Allied forces. Today is a part of those celebrations. May the 5th, German forces in Northwest Europe surrendered and started that cessation process, of course, that unfolded over a period of time. What better way to look back than with the hard work of a Saskatchewan product who dedicated herself to preserving a part of Canada's history through this war? We are so excited to be welcoming to our show a Saskatchewan lawyer, business lady, and now author, back to the province. Joanne Cormilo lives in Calgary, but born and raised in Regina, spent a lot of her life in this province, and made the trip back to our province and joins us in studios. Joanne, so great to have you with us today.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm very pleased to be here.
This is a delightful book, and for your first book, I congratulate you. There's a lot of passion that goes into writing a book, and I'm sure you're proud of this.
Yes, I am. Yes.
So can we talk a little bit about the story? The book is called The Resistance Daughter, and it's a beautiful novel. It's fiction, but it's based on some work and research you did that is close to you. Can you talk a little bit about why this came to be in your professional life, why you wanted to write this book?
Well, I'm the daughter of a World War II bomber pilot and prisoner of war, and mm-hmm. I always hoped that my father would talk to me about it, but he didn't.
And I understood you would go with him to Remembrance Day ceremonies. And, you know, I think that's a common thing. There's a lot of families that have those memories of being with their loved ones who represented our country at war, but often didn't want to talk about those times with their loved ones when they returned home.
Yeah, that's correct. I grew up knowing that my father had been shot down. He was a pilot. He ditched his aircraft in the Zuider Zee off the coast of the Netherlands, and then he was taken to a prisoner of war camp. I have his handcuffs. I have his journal. It was distributed by the Canadian YMCA to POWs and various people in the camps. They wrote and painted in each other's journals. Mm-hmm. And I have his medals. And I always hoped that he would tell me, but he died rather young because he had shrapnel in his lungs.
And after he had passed, you decided, okay, I want to tell this story, but you did it in a way I think that is beautiful, that is tasteful. Can we talk about the research that you did?
Yes.
Because this wasn't just reading a few articles. This was
right.
A bit of a life's journey for you, Joanne. Can you talk about that?
Yes, it was. It was a journey of understanding. I traveled. Well, I sat on the board of the Air Force Museum of Alberta, Air Force Museum Association of Alberta, with several men that were POWs. And I was lucky that they shared their stories with me. They spent countless hours. That was Wilkie Wanless and Doug Hawks.
Mm-hmm.
And I was also on the Aerospace Museum board with the same men for several years. But then I traveled to the United Kingdom. Went to the Wellington Museum, where my father flew a Wellington aircraft, and there's only two in the world, so I went there. I traveled to Poland. I traveled to Germany. It was just a life journey of understanding for me.
Mm-hmm. And I understand you went through Warlog as well, and I'm sure that was quite a journey for you personally. Can you talk a bit about that?
Yes, I have his flight log, and I also have this journal I was telling you about,
right.
And inside it, there's black and white pictures of the camp. And then going to Germany and traveling to the location of the camp with there's a group called the Friends of Stalag 4B. My father was in four different camps. The last camp he was in was Stalag 4B in Germany, and was close to Dresden.
It's a beautiful story that you've written, and
thank you.
And I love how you've written it. I mean, it's it's fiction, but it's based on, these are true events. These are the things that were happening during the war. And you have the inspiration of your dad and his legacy. And by the way, much respect and appreciation for his service to our country. Again, Joanne Cormillo is my guest, Saskatchewan lawyer, business owner, and author of The Resistance Daughter. So give me an idea and help us understand the story, because this is a beautiful story. It's a love story, but it's also obviously got lots of heartache in it as well. Can you give us a sense of what this is about?
Well, it's a dual narrative. The publisher has chosen to feature the female story on the cover and in the name. It's about little known stories about the Polish Home Army and a little known organization called Zagoda, which is a council to aid the Jews. It was joint between the Home Army and the Jewish fighting organizations. They had a section of it called the Children's Cell Department, and they rescued children out of the Warsaw Ghetto. Mm-hmm. One of the ways they did it was through the underground sewer system, which was a large part of the Home Army's means of smuggling and arms and rescuing people out of the city and rescuing children out of the ghetto.
It talks about a meeting of two people and then how that becomes the story that unfolds here. Can you talk a bit about that?
My writing started out, I was never a fiction writer. This is my first work of fiction, and it started out as nonfiction. And I received all sorts of stories, but not enough to be exactly accurate. Mm. So I consolidated. This person would tell me one story and another person would tell me one story. So I consolidated characters. Mm-hmm. And I told the story of the POWs and stories they told me about the very interesting part when there were women from the Polish Home Army that were brought into their camp. It was a men's camp, but they were in the transit camp across the barbed wire. They were only there for, you know, a short amount of time. But the men were so excited to see women in the camp. They hadn't seen women in years. Mm-hmm. So they threw notes wrapped around rocks over the barbed wire, and they threw, you know, spare little pieces of food that they had over to the women and cigarettes and this. And those women, it's very interesting because those women were the first women in history to be given POW status and not civilian status.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And was I right in reading in my interview or my lead up to this, you had seen a picture that caught your attention once of these women? Is that right?
Yes, I have that in my dad's logbook. He has two pictures in his war log. Mm-hmm. The YMCA. He has got pictures of that. And it's also on my website.
We talked about the journey that you went in doing research for this, but in many ways, it must have brought you close to your father in a whole new way.
Oh, yes. I understand him now. And that's why I find it emotional.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, I'm proud of you and your passion. I'm proud of you, Joanne, for capturing this, because as you and I were talking about just before we started the interview, there's a lot of families that can relate to this. In fact, there are gatherings where prisoners of war get together, and that still goes on today with families.
Yes. In 1975, there was ex-Air Force POW Association reunion here in Regina, and some 300 airmen from around the world attended it. I had the privilege of going to it.
It's quite something. And as we learn more, I mean, so much has been written and documented about World War II, about the war, but it's books like this that I think give us a bit more understanding and perspective, the human perspective of this. And so, you know, for your time and effort, I very much appreciate it. The book is available now in Canada, correct?
It's available in Canada in Kindle. And then it's available in audio. Mm-hmm. And then in July 29th, it'll be available in bookstores in Canada. Right now it's available in bookstores in the United Kingdom. My publisher is Hodder and Stoughton out of the United Kingdom.
Okay. Whenever I have the privilege of talking with an author, it's always great to hear the motivation behind the book. Tell me, what do you hope people take from the book after people read this? What's your hope of what they take away?
Well, I think when I started it, I wanted to entertain and educate, because a lot of the books that are out there give a false, almost miseducation of what went on, and that really disturbs me, you know. And it's very important for me to be authentic. Mm-hmm. And I know along this, you know, people would tell me, oh, you don't have to be, but that for me, it's important to be authentic. I tried to be as accurate and real, mm-hmm. the reality, like mm-hmm. some of the books that are out there aren't.
I think you've done a beautiful Thank you, Joanne. I appreciate you not only taking the time to, the investment you made in writing the book, but taking the time to come in and chat with us. I know people are going to enjoy your book, The Resistance Daughter. Joanne Cormillo, thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you very much for having me.
If you want to check out Joanne's website as well, it is joannecormillo.com. And again, the book called The Resistance Daughter. You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.